This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Within weeks of Saudi Arabia's bizarre attack on neighboring Qatar that included a demand to shut down Al Jazeera, Israel is now attempting to ban the network's journalists. The Israeli Communications Minister, Ayub Kara, announced this week that he would be revoking Al Jazeera reporters' press credentials and moving to shut down the outlet's Jerusalem bureau. Mr. Kara cited Al Jazeera's coverage of the Al-Aqsa Mosque-related news as a reason for its imminent ban. He even went as far as calling Al Jazeera a, quote, tool for the Islamic State. The news outlet, which is funded by the Qatar government, has made a name for itself as a trustworthy journalistic institution over the past two decades. Despite that, and perhaps because of it, it has been targeted many times. But what is behind this latest attack by Israel? Joining me to help answer that question is Mark Levine. He's a professor of history at University of California, Irvine, and a distinguished visiting professor at the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at Lund University, Sweden, and a senior columnist at Al Jazeera, where he's extensively covered the Arab uprisings and the Israeli occupation. He's the author and editor of a dozen books, including most recently One Land, Two States, Israel and Palestine as Parallel States, and a forthcoming book on the next 50 years of the occupation. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Great to be back.
So first, let's talk about the context for this move by the and the announcement by the communications minister of Israel. How has Al Jazeera been operating in Israel? Have they been targeted by Israel before? Have they had relative freedom to do their coverage of the occupation and just basically do the kind of coverage they would do in any country?
Well, I have to say, I've been working in Israel-Palestine as an Al Jazeera columnist and reporter for almost 10 years, and I've never had any problem. The office of the Al Jazeera Bureau in Jerusalem is actually in the same building as the government press office, and relations have always been friendly. When you go there to get your press credentials, no one gives you any dirty looks, any more so than when I've reported from other American outlets. So this is something that, while occasionally you hear grumblings by various Israeli governments, this kind of attempt to really close it down is something more or less unprecedented. But I'm not even sure it's that much about Al Jazeera per se. I think, especially in the age of Trump and with Netanyahu close to being indicted for various kinds of fraud and corruption charges, the amount of energy we're now spending talking about Al Jazeera actually suits them just fine, because we're not talking about the much bigger story, which is Netanyahu's impending indictment and, of course, the ever-intensifying occupation. So I think it's at the very least about changing the subject. And if it is, in fact, about an attempt to close Al Jazeera, then it really represents an Israeli government that is either planning to do something that it really doesn't want a lot of people covering, or just about a general fear that its policies are starting to catch up with it in the global stage.
So in a way, we see a sort of pattern, it seems. We've got Israel not happy with Al Jazeera. And this is, as I mentioned, coming soon after Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have also launched this very strange attack on Qatar as being the source of funding for terrorism as part of their demands to Qatar. They wanted to initially, at least, have that government shut down Al Jazeera. Here in the United States, you have the authoritarian government of Trump attacking the media as the enemy of the people. The authoritarianism does not like a free press. Would that be the overarching framework for this conversation as well?
Well, I think it's certainly the framework in that Israel is reaching the limits of what it can do within the discourse of a peace process. You know, for 20 years or more, we've had this idea of a peace process and all the things that Israel's done that clearly violate the principles or even the terms of the peace process, it's been able to explain with a discourse of security, and always somehow it's in response to Palestinian violence. Well, that story was always largely untrue, but now they're moving so far beyond any way of justifying their actions by a security discourse that they really can't have the kind of coverage that they've allowed and still be able to use the discourse of security. So I think what you see is perhaps this reflecting a change in the status of the occupation. We're not really anymore in an occupation. What we're in is a one-state solution, in effect. And Israel can't keep using the peace process discourse to justify its actions. So therefore, it needs to make sure that the kind of coverage that its actions are starting to get is tamped down as much as possible.
Let's actually hear what Ayub Kara, the communications minister, actually said when he announced that Israel would move to ban Al Jazeera. Here's a video. In fact, this is a report by Al Jazeera itself about this move.
Israel's prime minister said he wanted to expel Al Jazeera from Israel because of its reporting of the protests around the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Now his communications minister says he's planning to make that happen.
I'm going to request the government press office revoke the press cards of Al Jazeera network reporters operating in Israel. I've spoken to the cable and satellite companies that expressed willingness from their end to consider stopping Al Jazeera broadcasts. I also spoke to the Minister of Internal Security to ask him to use his authority to close the offices of the network in this country. I also spoke to others to ask them to limit the network's broadcasting on the open satellite.
He claims cable and satellite providers have agreed to block the network's transmissions, but he will need to table fresh legislation to force the closure of its bureau in Jerusalem. A former Israeli justice minister told Al Jazeera he doesn't think that will happen.
It is not a decision to close down Al Jazeera in Israel from today to tomorrow. As it was said before me, it's a long process, and Israel is a democracy, and it is possible to petition it. And there is a Supreme Court, and it won't be so easy to take such a decision like in some other countries in this world, including some other Arab countries.
And that is the voice of former Israeli Justice Minister Yossi Beilin, interviewed by Al Jazeera. Before him, we heard Ayub Kara, the current communications minister in Israel. So, Mark, one of the things that Mr. Kara said was that he would be speaking with Israel's Minister of Internal Security. This sounds ominous.
Well, again, I think it's very telling that that's one of the main foci of his remarks, because what it shows is that the information that Al Jazeera provides, both to people within the occupied territories, within Israel, and the world public, is something that is a threat to the ability of the Israeli government to continue with its plans in the occupied territories. So in that sense, they're going to use a discourse of internal security to justify shutting it down. Of course, the idea that Al Jazeera builds terrorists and the other remarks that he made is completely ludicrous. But it's not ludicrous that if you want to prevent this kind of information from getting out, you need to start closing down the outlets that are most reliably putting it out there. And of course, while Al Jazeera is an easy target because it's quote unquote Arab, even though most of the reporters who work there are not Arab, you can more easily focus on them. But then what's next? Certainly The Guardian is going to be in trouble. You're going to see the other news outlets. If they get away with this soon after, it's clear they're going to start going after other news outlets that aren't afraid to report, you know, more honestly from the occupied territory.
Now, Israel often likes to tout itself as the only democracy in the Middle East, and indeed the remarks by the former justice minister that we played also echoed that, and he seems to suggest that it really wasn't that big a deal for the communications minister to announce banning this because Israel is a democracy and you would have to go through a variety of democratic processes in order to actually finalize the banning of a media outlet. What do you make of his remarks?
Well, I think it's quite amusing in a way because it shows how Israel is able to play both sides of the deck, so to speak. It can try to ban it, but then while it's trying to ban it, it can say that it's a democracy and therefore banning it's going to be difficult. At the very least, it helps raise questions about Al Jazeera's bona fides among the potential audience that might find its information most challenging, like American Jews or people in Europe, or even Israelis who might start to be skeptical of the true aims of the government. So it's really a no-lose proposition for the Israeli government. Either it goes through this process and it doesn't work, and it's shown that it's still a democratic country, or it does actually ban it and it's able to stop the flow of information. So either way, they come out ahead.
Either way, they basically tarnish Al Jazeera's reputation, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to really work in broad measure, but I do think for internal Israeli politics, in the same way Trump is playing to his base by going after the media and using the word fake news all the time, even though everyone knows it's him that's putting out this kind of fake news. In the same way, to Netanyahu's base, in a particularly challenging moment for him, and where Israel is clearly moving so far beyond an occupation to really, you know, the point of getting ready, it seems, to annex effectively or even legally large swaths of the West Bank, this kind of trouble, you know, clearly diverts attention and shores up the base.
What is the status of Saudi Arabia's demand for Qatar to shut down Al Jazeera in order to resume diplomatic ties with its Arab neighbors?
Well, you know, this has been a complete disaster. I think most people I know assume this is the work of the young crown prince, who is also behind the disastrous war in Yemen. It's not working. You know, Qatar has more than enough friends and more than enough money and more than enough gas to ride this out for years.
It just did military exercises with Turkey, by the way.
Right. So Qatar is not going to cave in. I think this clearly was Saudi Arabia overplaying its hand. I don't think perhaps the crown prince understood just how important Al Jazeera is to the self-image of the Qatari elite. And while certainly Qatar is not a democracy by any means, and it certainly has its own issues with freedom of the press inside the emirate and inside the in terms of internal issues, even quite honestly in terms of coverage with Al Jazeera, you know, for the most part, Al Jazeera is a very reliable network that has done some of the best reporting globally on a whole host of issues, including across the Middle East and North Africa and Africa itself. And there's no way they're going to give that up. And in fact, right now, it seems that Qatar is getting the upper hand in many ways in public opinion against Saudi Arabia. So this is clearly, you know, if it's part of a propaganda war between the two countries, it's one that the Saudis are not winning.
So the coverage that Al Jazeera does, particularly of countries like Saudi Arabia, is, of course, most troubling to Saudi royals. Routinely, Al Jazeera reporters will expose the crackdown on dissent within Saudi Arabia, the Saudi war on Yemen, etc. But you mentioned that a majority of its staff are not actually Arab. Can you give us a sense of who Al Jazeera is?
Well, I mean, we have to remember, I mean, a lot are Arab, and of course in the Arab network, where I also sometimes work, but not as much, the vast majority are Arab-speaking, if not Arabs. But certainly Al Jazeera's staff, for example, I go to the London Bureau often, and there are Israelis working there, right? So there are Americans working there. Al Jazeera was started by people coming over from the BBC and coming over from Nightline. I remember going to Doha the first time, and at least half the people I met were actually Jewish who were working there. So it's an incredibly eclectic mix of people. The idea that it represents, you know, just Qatar, is just Arab, is just not at all true. And it's actually one of the most international and cosmopolitan newsrooms and news operations I've ever encountered.
Now, let's also talk about what you were saying. This story might be trying to distract from in Israel, and that's Netanyahu's indictment. What is he facing right now? And why would attacking a media outlet distract from what he's facing at home?
Well, according to the news reports I've seen, I haven't followed it that closely, he's facing, you know, charges basically stemming from corruption, stemming from fraud, stemming from basically the way he's run his entire political career. And this is not at all the first time that he's faced these kinds of charges. What's unprecedented is that former aides or present aides, I don't remember exactly, are actually willing to testify against him. And once you get that flip, as anyone who's ever watched a mafia case or any other similar kind of case knows, once you get someone from the inside willing to talk, probably because they were facing charges against them and they flipped in order to save their own skin, this is usually when finally the tables are turned on someone who normally has gotten away with this kind of thing. So going after Al Jazeera, even if it doesn't work, it moves the press away from talking about him. Instead of having in a newspaper, you know, three or four columns devoted to what's about to happen to him. You might have two, and then two about Al Jazeera. And so that's already shifting the coverage. But I think even more important than his particular individual situation is, again, that Israel's actions in the occupied territories are reaching a level where it's going to have to make a choice. And the choice seems to be towards some kind of annexation in the next few years, whether it's de facto or de jure of large swaths of the West Bank. That's more or less the official policy of every major party in the ruling coalition. The PA is, you know, is just
Palestinian
a shell.
Authority. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Palestinian Authority is just a shell of its former self. And clearly they expect a change to happen that is going to completely upend the current order in the occupied territories. And Al Jazeera is not the news organization, if you can help it,
right,
that you want there when that's about to happen.
So then finally, public opinion globally has turned on the issue of Israel and Palestine, particularly among young people everywhere you go, even here in the United States, or I should say especially here in the United States. What role has a news outlet like Al Jazeera played in exposing what's really happening on the ground in places like Gaza and the West Bank, and also increasing support for movements like the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement?
Well, obviously, I think there's two different ways to look at it. I mean, first of all, there's two completely separate Al Jazeeras. There's Al Jazeera English, and then there's Al Jazeera Arabic, the original network. So
right,
if we focus
thanks for that
more
clarification,
on English, because English is the one with the international footprint that
right.
reaches Europe, of course, and the United States, I think it's provided absolutely crucial information for building a new consensus about Israel and about the occupied territories and about the occupation. I think perhaps the key to this is not just the television network and the really excellent and award-winning reporting it's done. It's been the website. You know, if you read the opinion section of Al Jazeera English on a regular basis, you will see the most important Israeli, Palestinian, and international see from other outlets and you know, from many different sources. But where do we go from here? And that's, I think, the most important thing, because as long as no one has hope that there is anything else that can happen or there's anywhere to go, then, in fact, it can be overkill to present so much of the reality, the brutal reality of the occupation. But what Al Jazeera has done in its opinion pages is provide a space for progressive Israelis, Palestinians, and international scholars, activists, and policymakers to have a conversation about what's next. What do we do? How can we actually ameliorate this situation, given that it's clear that Oslo is dead, the two-state solution is dead, the occupation has become effectively a one-state situation? Where do we go from there? And that, to me, is the biggest threat that Al Jazeera poses, which other places like The Guardian, The Nation, you know, any of these other wonderful news outlets, they don't have the ability to do, because they can't put out as many op-eds, they can't have the kind of conversations continuously that Al Jazeera, especially Al Jazeera English, has for an international audience. And that's created a community of scholars and activists and policymakers who are now thinking through what's going to happen in the next 10 or 15 years. And that, I think, is the biggest threat to the Israeli government.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your page on Al Jazeera's website where people can read your writings there. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
My guest is Mark Levine. He's a professor of history at the University of California, Irvine, and a distinguished visiting professor at the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at Lund University in Sweden. He's a senior columnist at Al Jazeera. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.